for help, and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 10, verse 1 and 3. In the fullness of thy grace, to thy house I will repair. Bowing toward thy holy place, in thy fear will worship there. Lead me in thy righteousness. Let my foes assail in vain, lest my feet be turned aside. Make thy way before me plain. 1 and 3 of Psalter 10.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to St. John, there of the first chapter, beginning with verse 29 through 42. But first let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention John chapter 1, beginning with verse 29 through 42. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Thus far the reading of God's word.
O
congregation this morning, we especially wish to remember in prayer Reverend Verhoef with medical concerns, and also Devin and Joanna Bremen, who are in the hospital in concerns with the unborn life, the little child in the womb. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing and presence among us this morning. Almighty, merciful, and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, in thy mercy and in thy goodness, we may yet be in the land of the living. We may yet be in the time of grace. It's thy long-suffering patience over us, unworthy sinners. Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Thou hast not dealt with us according to our sins and iniquities, and that we may yet again, in this morning, come into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy word. But also thou hast given also those visible signs in the Holy Supper, in the Lord's Supper, that bread and wine to seal unto thy dear children, thy sheep, the promise of the gospel, that in thee there is forgiveness of sins, that in thee there is life eternal for those who only deserve, because of all their sins, all their iniquities, and all their transgressions, to be eternally cast away from thee under thy wrath forever. But Lord, we beg thee then that thou would give especially thy presence among us in this morning hour. Come, Lord, with thy presence, with thy Holy Spirit, and bless the preaching of the word, of the gospel, of that only Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, but also bless to the communicants, to that they may receive for their hungry and thirsty, perishing souls, food and drink, that they may be given to look outside of self, and that they may be given to look up unto thee, to that Lamb of God who gave himself to be broken, to be put to death, who gave his blood, who gave everything to satisfy the justice of God and to open that way where unworthy, hell-worthy sinners may receive favor, may receive communion, and may enter, when they are delivered from that body of death, enter into that eternal glory to be forever with thee. Oh, we beg thee, then, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, bless thy precious word and the sacrament. Lord, without thee, then it's all form and custom, and there will be no blessing, there will be no awe, there will be no worshiping of thee, and there will be no true blessings, no comfort for poor and needy sinners. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, for thy name's sake and for thy dear people, come and work among us and bless thy word and the sacrament. Oh, we beg thee then that thou would remember all the little lambs and the sheep. They had a week of examination, and thou knowest how it is in their hearts. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would draw them yet to that table with the cords of love, that they may be given to testify that I lie in the midst of death, that I am unrighteous in sin, no hope in self, but my only hope is in him, in that precious Lamb of God, and that they may come to sit under the shadow of thy wings, and that they may eat and drink abundantly, because in thee there's an abundance for the vilest of sinners. We pray, remember the whole congregation, those who must confess and be honest with themselves, that they do not know of the grace of God in their hearts. They have never been truly full because of their sin. They have no hunger and thirst after righteousness. They have no desire to live holy. They have no delight in thy law, in thy word. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then make each one personally honest before thee, and that those who must say, I do not know this life of grace, that they may remain in their pew, in their benches. And yet, Lord, we beg thee, give a blessing upon thy word. Remember all those who are dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, may they see it also and hear it, how they need a Lamb of God, and that Almighty God of heaven and earth did not spare his own Son, and he will not spare any man, woman, boy, or girl. And we're all guilty. We need thy grace. We need to be born again. We need that grace to truly repent and to confess all our sins. And we need that faith that looks outside of self and that believes in the record of thy Son, of whom thou hast given to be that Lamb of God. Oh, we beg thee, have mercy then, Lord, and give spiritual life to those who are yet dead. We ask, Lord, that thou would then remember the whole congregation. Oh, wilt thou give those blessings from above that thou alone can give for the honor of thy name and for the comfort of thy dear people. May there be a little crumbs for thy dear people, for little dogs who have nothing in self, but that may come and sit, and that thou would feed them with thyself, Lord. That there may be a little water, a refreshing of thy grace for poor needy sinners, that thou would refresh them with thyself, with thy grace, with thy broken body and thy shed blood, Lord. We ask that thou would remember then also all the cares and needs. The consequences of sin are many. Remember all those who are mourning. Comfort them, Lord. Remember all the sick and afflicted, all those with special cares and needs for their body, but also for their mind. Help each one, Lord. And may we lay before thee especially Devin and Joanna and that unborn child in the womb of her mother. Lord, we ask thee to remember them and that child. Look upon them in mercy. Uphold them and help them through this way. And be near unto them, Lord. Speak through thy word. May this trial in their life be blessed to their souls. And Lord, remember also thy servant, Reverend Verhoef, who has received news and medical concerns in this past week. Oh, we beg thee, wilt thou spare him for his family, for his wife, but also for his congregation and for our denomination. Lord, there's so few servants already. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, help him. Bless the means that may he be used for his body. Give wisdom to the doctors when they may receive the news of the diagnosis of what it is, that they may receive wisdom of how to treat and to care for his body. And bless it, Lord, that he may be yet used for a time, if it is in thy will, in thy hands, to be ambassador of Jesus Christ, to yet proclaim death in Adam and life in Christ. Lord, remember all thy servants throughout the world. Help each one. Give faithfulness to thee, to thy word, to the meaning of the Spirit, and that we may proclaim it, the truth of thy word, of death in Adam, life in Christ, and how a sinner is brought to that precious Savior. We beg thee, Lord, that thou would then remember also all mission work, wherever thy word may be proclaimed throughout the entire world. Bless it richly, that thy kingdom may come among the Jew and the Gentile, Lord. We pray and ask thee also especially again that thou would remember the mission work in Bolivia. Help thy servant, Pastor Marco, the elders, the deacons, the church workers. Give faithfulness. but especially, Lord, give a blessing upon thy word that many may be born again and come to know themselves as nothing but a lost, unrighteous sinner, guilty before a holy, a good-doing and just God. But also, Lord, that they may come to know that only name given among men whereby we must be saved, that precious name of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we then ask thee in this morning to gather with us. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances. Thou knowest, Satan, how we'd like to assault thy dear people. Oh, cast them out. May they hear the voice of the beloved, and that they may be drawn to that table to sit and to be fed in their souls with thyself. O Lord, thou art the almighty God. O, we beg thee, have mercy upon us and give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach thy word, but also to hear and to receive blessings by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thou could righteously and justly pass us by because we are a polluted people. We're a polluted consistory. We're a polluted congregation. And we deserve nothing because of all our sins against thee and all our thoughts and all our words and all our deeds. But, oh, we beg thee, Lord, for the name, for thy name, look upon us in mercy and give those blessings because of thy Son, in whom thou art well pleased, because of his righteousness, because of his blood. O Lord, rend the heavens and come among us in this morning and in this day, that we may have a good day, that man may be in the dust, and thou would be exalted to the highest, and that there may be food for our poor and needy, hungry and thirsty souls. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 368, all five stanzas. Arise, O Lord, our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O let this house be thy abode, forever with thy presence blessed. 368, all five stanzas, and the collections for today is the first for the church and the second for the NRC Book and Publishing Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. congregation, another week of self-examination has come to an end. How is it in your soul this morning, after a week of examination, of preparation? Do you know yourself as a guilty sinner before a holy and just God? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? But do you know yourself also as an unrighteous sinner, and that you must be righteous before God, and that all your righteousnesses are nothing but filthy rags? And has that led you, drawn you to Him who is the Lord, our righteousness? Do you not only have sorrow over who you are, because of your sin, what you have done to God, but also who you remain to be? But is there also a little hope? Is there a little joy in another, in the Lord Jesus Christ? The dear children of God know both. They know sorrow because of self, but they also have joy in another, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so at this end of this week of self-examination, which is a very necessary part in preparation to rightly celebrate the Lord's Supper, but also the children of God are also called to do this in remembrance of Him. They're not only called to look within, but they're also called to look without, to look outside of self, in that only Savior of whom their hearts have been drawn to already in the past, in whom they have believed in and have tasted a little something of His grace or more. They are called this morning to especially not to focus on self, but to focus on that one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God on the cross. Why? Because Guido de Bray wrote it so preciously and beautifully in the Confession of Faith, in whose wounds we find all manner of consolation. There's only one way to be comforted, and that's not with anything in self, but it's in Him, in the Lamb of God. And that's the purpose of the sacrament and of the Lord's Supper, as we read in Lord's Day 25, question and answer 67. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which is offered for us on the cross. And so in preparation for the Lord's Supper this morning, and that God's dear little lambs and sheep may rightly celebrate, we will focus what you can find in the chapter that was read to you from John 1, verse 29. John 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But before we come to our theme and our points, I would like to especially speak to you. You who know, after a week of self-examination, you may not attend. You do not feel that witness, that testimony in your heart, that you know those three things, misery, deliverance, and gratitude. I ask you this morning, the word of God and the sacrament is also speaking to you. Listen, hear the word of God. The Lord is speaking to the whole congregation this morning. You all need a Lamb of God. You're all sinful. You all need to be reconciled with a holy God. And there's only one way. It's only through the Lamb. The Lord also calls to the whole congregation to behold the Lamb of God. May you see your great need. But also may you be drawn to see that He is the only one. That Lamb, that precious Lamb. Because without Him, you will eternally perish. And may you from your bench this morning, you who do not have a church right and a divine right to come and sit, may you look from your bench and see that broken bread that points to that broken body, and to see that poured out wine which points to the blood of Christ which was poured out. And may you see the great wrath of God against sin, and that you are a sinner, and that there's wrath over you at this very moment. But may you also be given by the Word and by the Spirit to also see that unspeakable love of God given through His own Son, and that you, by the grace of God, may be made alive, that you may truly repent and believe, or you will eternally perish. And so may the Holy Spirit work mightily through the preaching of the Word and through the administration of the Holy Supper to the glory of God, to the salvation of sinners, and that His dear people may be drawn to the table and be fed in their soul with an abundance of the Lamb of God. And so our text again. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The theme this morning is, Behold the Lamb of God. Two thoughts, two questions. Who are you to behold? Who? Behold the Lamb of God. And the second point, the second question, what are you to behold? We read in the text, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So behold the Lamb of God. Who are you to behold, and what are you to behold? Behold the Lamb of God, John the Baptist says. Who did John point to, children? Who did he see coming? Who did he point to and say, Behold the Lamb of God? Well, verse 29 informed us, John seeth Jesus coming. He sees him and he points to him and he says, Behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. John pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that Messiah, the Son of God, and gives a beautiful testimony of who Jesus Christ is. He's the Lamb of God. Why did John give this name to Jesus? Why did he see Jesus coming and say, Behold, the Lamb of God? Well, to understand this, we have to hear this message also through Jewish ears. Through the ears of a Jew, when an Israelite heard about a lamb, they thought about what? What did we consider a few weeks ago in the preaching in the morning? I believe it was on baptism morning. What did we consider? The Passover lamb. When they heard the word lamb, the Israelites would think about a Passover lamb. But more, they would think about the morning and evening sacrifice. Every day, a lamb was sacrificed in the tabernacle. But they also, when they heard about a lamb, they thought about atonement. May I ask you this morning, when you hear about a lamb, do you think about atonement? May I ask you more, do you need atonement? Are you a sinner that needs atonement because you long for the favor of God, and that you're filthy, you need to be atoned for, you need to be cleansed, you need your sins washed away? We read in Leviticus 5, verse 5 and 6, And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he has sinned. A female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. The scribes had come to John and they had asked him, "Art thou the Christ? Art thou the Messiah?" Now John sees. He told them already, "I am not that Messiah. I am not that Christ." But now he sees him coming, walking there, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Lamb that was given for atonement in the Old Testament, in the sacrifices. He's that sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God. Why is Jesus Christ called the Lamb of God? That Lamb had to be perfect. Otherwise it would not be satisfactory. And Jesus Christ is that Lamb of God. He's perfect, undefiled, pure, clean, holy in the eyes of a Father, of the Father. And sinner, you need a pure Lamb, and Jesus Christ is the pure Lamb. He did not only not commit any sin, he did not know any sin. That means he did not have any experience with sin. Lambs are meek and patient. And Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He was in the glory, and he left the glory. He came so low. He humbled himself. He's that meek and lowly one, and he calls to sinners, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Why is Jesus Christ the Lamb of God? Lambs surrender and follow the shepherds. And Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who surrendered with his whole being, with his whole heart, to the will of his Father. He had a delight to do the will of God. His delight was already in eternity before he ever came to this world. He's the Lamb. John didn't say, "Behold, a Lamb." No, he pointed to Jesus Christ and he said, "Behold, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, congregation." He's the only Lamb. Poor lambs and sheep, he is the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God. Why is he the only, the true Lamb of God? Because he was given by the Father. He's an unspeakable gift for those who have nothing, nothing but sin, who stand lost and under the wrath and need to be brought back into the favor with God. And God the Father was pleased to send him, to give him as his only begotten Son into the world, to seek and to save, but even more, yes, much profoundly more. Jesus Christ came to do the pleasure of his Father. He came to be given in a body. He came in a body. He came as the Lamb, because a Lamb only can be sacrificed. A Lamb could give blood. And Jesus Christ is that true and only Lamb of God. He came, given by the Father, for those who have offended the Father, to his very majesty, with all that sin and iniquity and transgressions against him. But all that sin did not cause his love to be withheld. No, he poured forth more love. He gave his Son. He gave his only begotten Son as a Lamb of God to be a substitute for those who have nothing but filthy rags and sins and iniquities. What mercy, what grace, what wisdom, what love of God. None could be found through the whole universe and all the world that could pay that necessary ransom, because how can I have my people among me? But they found a ransom. They found one. They found only one, as he appeared, as we read in Revelation. Who? The Lamb of God. What type of a Lamb? A slain Lamb. Congregation, Jesus Christ is the only Lamb of God. He's that necessary Lamb. He's that most suitable Lamb. But has he become precious for your soul? He was the one that came, lived upon this earth, and his Father was well pleased in him, in Jesus Christ, in the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb because he's exactly that one that poor, needy, wretched sinners need to be that way back to God, to that heart of God, to be reconciled with that Holy Father. And so John saw him coming, and he pointed to him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Why did John do this? Why did John say this? What did John know? That he didn't want to point anything to himself absolutely anymore. But he only wanted with joy and delight to point to the Lamb of God. What causes a sinner to not only need, but also to see and to believe in the Lamb of God, that only Lamb of God? What draws them to look to him? What causes them to truly behold him, to see him by faith? What does the Holy Spirit do in their hearts while they're made alive? Yes. And John, we knew he was born again in the womb of his mother. But John learned to see himself, what? As a righteous one? With this and with that and with this and with that? No. John learned and knew himself as an unrighteous sinner that was not even worthy to unlatch the shoes of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He testified, "I must decrease, but he must increase." John knew in his heart, that he was a sinner. And there was love in his heart to be reconciled, to have favor with God. And he learned he had no way in himself, nothing. But he learned and knew by the Word and by the Spirit, by the grace of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Lamb. He's the one he needs for atonement to be reconciled with God. John couldn't find anything in himself anymore. Is that you at the end of this week? Can you find nothing to present to God? It's true. The Lord has worked in you, but you cannot find anything to please him. It's all filthy. It's all polluted. And did you find more and more abominations in your thoughts, in your words, in your deeds, and who you are? John came an end to self in his life. And that's why when he saw him and he believed in him, the record of God's Son, then he could say, and I can believe he said it with joy, with hope and joy, to point to others, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John knew the prophecies of the Old Testament, that the Messiah, that he would come, as we read in Isaiah, that he would be the Lamb that a sinner needs to be reconciled with God, to be able to cover his unrighteousness, and to be able to wash him in his blood. John believed the record of God's Son, and John knew that atonement was in nothing else, no one else, but only in him. In Jesus Christ. And so when he saw him, can you picture him there? John standing there, maybe with a multitude of people, and the Lord Jesus walking. And then he saw him coming. And then he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." My friend, do you know something of the same experiences as John? Nothing in self, a sinner before God, and yet a longing deep in your heart, because the Lord poured love in your heart to be reconciled with him, to receive a little favor, to receive something of that sweet communion with that God that you have sinned against. Have you become nothing but a guilty sinner, longing and needing the favor of God and reconciliation? And have you learned that only way through him who said, "I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth"? And he came to be that substitutionary work. He came to stand in the very place of those guilty sinners. He came not only to be born, he came to be the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God. Who are we to behold this morning? Church of God? Who? Who must you behold? Him. The Lamb of God. Why? Because of what he has done. And so we come to our second thought. What are you to behold? John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The hearers of John heard of a lamb, and he heard of atonement. They knew those two words went together. Together. Because lamb and atonement are together through the sacrifices. But do you also know it in your heart that it's only through him? Have you heard it through the preaching, through the word of God, that you need a lamb, and it's through him only, that way of atonement? And at the time of the Old Testament, when an Israelite sinned, and he was guilty, and he wanted to confess his sin, he needed to do something. What did he need to do? He needed to go to the priest. He needed to tell him, I came here. I've sinned. I want to confess my sin. And he had to explain it to the priest. And then the priest would then inform him that guilty sinner that stood before him. He had to tell him that without a payment, there is no ability for atonement. There is no ability for forgiveness. There's no ability for reconciliation with the Holy God. Yes, he needed to tell them that. And the priest also could point. And he did point to the altar. What do you see in that altar? Below that altar, there was fire. What does fire speak about, children? What does the fire of God speak about? It speaks about wrath. That priest had to tell that sinner that came to confess the sin, he needed a payment, because God has a wrath. It's infinite wrath. And that God can by no means clear the guilty. Sinner, there needs to be atonement. There needs to be a payment. He requires of it. Otherwise, you cannot be forgiven. And congregation, one sin alone is worthy of the eternal wrath of God. But have you found out, do you know truly in your heart, that you have a mountain of sin? And God's justice requires, it requires blood. Blood signifies life. And God's holy, infinite justice requires life. Life for the payment of sin against the holy, infinite God. Do you know something of this also? Also. Well, did the guilty Israelite, did he need to die? Did that priest, did he need to slay that guilty, confessing sinner? No, the priest could also, and he must, and he did. He also needed to proclaim that way of atonement that God has provided already in that Old Testament way that all pointed to Christ, the coming Lamb of God. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And then that priest could invite that guilty sinner who wanted to confess his sin to put his hands on that lamb to confess his sin. And symbolically, then that sin was transferred to that lamb. And now that lamb became the guilty one. And now that lamb had to die before the justice of God. And that sinner could go home. That sinner could live because that lamb died in the place for him. The lamb's blood was shed. And he was put on that altar, on the wrath of God, and he was consumed. And so that sinner could go home. Atonement made for him. That Israelite didn't need to die, which deserved to die. Do you deserve to die before the justice and the wrath of God? And all this speaks of the sacrifices of the temple, of the holiness of God, and of the Lamb. It all points to the Lamb of God. Rivers of blood was sacrificed. Rivers of blood was poured out. Many lambs died. But the fire kept burning. Have you experienced that in your life with everything that you have and everything that you are and all the blessings, that that fire still continues to burn? Have you learned you need blood? You need blood? No, not your blood. You need blood of another. That blood, have you found it in the Word of God, that there is blood? That there's a precious blood of the Son of God, the Lamb of God? He gave His blood because that blood pacified. That blood appeased the wrath of God. No animal, no man, not even a righteous man could satisfy the wrath of God. Nothing of your prayers, nothing of all your experiences, nothing of all the Bible texts that you received that the Lord has spoken, nothing can satisfy that wrath. No, nothing also from man. Nothing. They come to the midst of death. It's all polluted. But have you seen it? No, I'm not asking this morning, do you know He is my Savior? But have you seen something of Him? With that woman with the issue, but have you heard of Him? Has it drawn you to Him? Have you fled to Him as a bankrupt, lost sinner needing Him? And have you learned even more of the blood, of the precious blood of the Lamb? Jesus Christ is the head of the covenant of grace. He came to do the will of His Father. And what was the will of His Father? That all should perish? No. That His Son would come. That He would stand in the place as the Lamb of God. That He would give not only His life to live to fulfill the law. That He would come to this earth to give His body. That Lamb of God to give His body to be broken, to be beaten, to be slain, to be put to death. He who knew no sin was made sin. Why? That hell-worthy, unrighteous ones that yet do hunger and thirst after righteousness could be righteous in Him, that they could receive the favor of God. He had to give His life. He had to give everything, and He gave it all. He did not withhold one thing, the Father. He gave everything. He gave His only Son. And His dear Son, the Lamb of God, He gave everything for a people who have nothing. He was rich and He became poor, so poor sinners can be rich in Him. He came in the flesh. He came with a longing to have a body so that He could be that one that was put on the altar of the wrath of God to be consumed in the place of those who must and who needed to be consumed. He died on the cross. That Lamb of God in that garden, He said, and I say it in my own words, take me, that these may go their way. Have you seen it? What a wonder that I deserve to be taken. I deserve to be beaten before that law of God, that I'm cursed, I'm hell worthy to be sent away. But have you seen a little something? That there is a Lamb. That there is a Lamb. That Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is the Lamb of God. And have you been led a little further? A little further in those mysteries and the wonders of grace and salvation, that He's not only the Lamb, but He has that blood, that precious blood, that blood that cleanses from all sin, that blood that makes atonement, that has made atonement, that has appeased the wrath of God. He's the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What does it mean to take away? Well, we can move something from this place. We can take it away, right, children? And I can move it over here. It's taken away from this place. And yet it still exists. It's just in a different place. Is that what it means? No. It means He takes it away. He blots it out. He erases it. He covers it. He took it all upon Himself. All upon Himself. It wasn't symbolic. It was literally that He became the Lamb of God. He took it all and He blotted it out. Erased. Gone. Forgiven. Forgotten. Erased. All absorbed in Him who's the Lamb of God. And it was cast into the depth of the sea. And as Thomas Watson said, into the depth of the sea of the red blood of Jesus Christ. He takes it away. He buries it, if I may say that, in himself, in his blood, washed, forgiven. Remember that sinner that came to that priest at the temple? He was called to put his hands on that lamb to confess his sin, and he had to do this as an act of faith, trusting in the promise of God. What is the way today? What is the way today? Do we still have sacrifices, children? No, we don't. We don't have sacrifices in our worship services. No more lambs, because it's all fulfilled in the Lamb. But what's the way today for a poor sinner that has nothing? What's the way? So to speak with reverence, to put your hands on the head of the Lamb. What does that mean? No, that's not literally. But that means a faith, trusting in him, of God's record of who he says he is, that he's the one and the only one that taketh away the sins of the world, that taketh away the sins, original sin, actual sins, all sins. As we read in the word of God, the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. The Lamb of God. Who are they? Who truly behold him? Who look to him? Who are they? Guilty in self. Maybe you ask, how do I know? I want to hear it again. How do I know if I've truly looked, if I've truly behold him? Then you've seen something of his beauty. You've seen something of the riches of the grace of God in him. Have you seen something? And that gave you hope. Hope that you never ever had in your life before. Hope in the midst of death in another, in the Lamb of God. Who are they? They are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's love for God, but they can't be righteous. They need him, the Lamb of God, to be the righteousness. They need to be cleansed. And they find and they learn and they experience that the only way to be cleansed is through him, through his grace, through the riches of his blood, of his grace. And they begin to follow him. As we read in this chapter, they heard and the disciples followed him. May I ask you, is that your life? Wretched in self, only hope in him and a longing, following. Yes, falling. Falling again, but still following, because in your heart there's love. He has become precious for your soul. My friends, do you know of this Lamb of God? Have you already eaten and drank from the gospel table? What do you mean? Have you already believed in him? Have you already? Because all those who have, they may come to this table, but if you have no faith in him, congregation, you may not come. You need to flee to him today to take refuge. The Lamb of God, and because of him that taketh away the sin of the world, God the Father can speak such rich blessings to absolutely unworthy sinners, guilty sinners, sinners laden with sin, unrighteous sinners. He can speak to them and say, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. What a rich, precious promise, words of God that he can speak to his sheep, to children, to poor and needy sinners because of the Lamb. And oh, they may hear it. They hear about it. But how can it be mine? By faith. But oh, they tremble. And so he says, come. I want to assure you, my sheep, my little lambs, I want to assure you. I want you to look at that broken bread. I want you to look at that poured out wine. I want to assure you of my constant covenant, faithful love to you. No, it's not about our love. It's about his love, that unbreakable love of God the Father through his Son. That love that's so unspeakable that he gave his life for his sheep. so that they could receive the love of God, of that mercy, of that grace. My friend, have you learned something about this precious Lamb of God? Is his name already precious to your soul? He says then to you, come to the table. I desire, with intense desire, to eat this with thee. My little sheep, my little lambs, come and eat. Come and drink. Yea, drink abundantly. Why? Because there's such an abundance in him. An abundance that the most vilest, the most wicked sinner, and many of them can come and eat and drink, and still there's an overflowing fountain in him, that Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he says, eat. O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Oh, may you hear his voice, and that you may be drawn to sit under his wings. He says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Fatness. There's a fatness in him. The Israelites understood that. There is nothing more rich or blessing for their soul than that fatness. The gospel is the fatness. There's a goodness, the riches of grace of God through the Lamb of God. My friend, may I ask you, is your life like that woman with the issue of blood that you heard a few months ago? That you came to an absolutely lost in self, nothing to better yourself, but you only became worse and worse and worse. You became bankrupt. It's a spiritual picture. Nothing. But then she heard of Jesus Christ, and she was drawn to him. She went to him, believing that it was in him, needing him, believing it was in him, and she touched the hem of his garment, and she felt it. She experienced the healing, the power of him in her body and in her soul. She tasted of his grace. And what did the Lord Jesus then say? He asked the question, who touched me? Why did he do that? Why did he do it? For his glory. The Lord's Supper, the first place, is for all those who know of God's grace in their heart, is to testify, to celebrate his death for his glory. But why did he also say, who touched me? So that she would come forth, confessing his name, what he did for her, for his glory. But that was also the way that she could receive comfort. The Lord Jesus longs to comfort it as a lamb's sheep. Do you know this life? Maybe with a trembling, as a bankrupt, wretched sinners, and your heart went out to him. And you have touched and you experienced something of the grace of him in your life. Then he calls you. No, I must even say it stronger. He commands you, for his name, for his honor, for his glory, to confess his name, and that you may be comforted in your soul. I say this very carefully, with much love. If you know of his grace, don't not deny the master. But if you do not know the master, do not, please, for the glory of his name, come to this table. But if you do, you may come as a wretched one. If you know of his grace, and you may come, proclaiming, no, not that I'm a good Christian. No, they don't come that way. Not that I have good faith. No, not that I have good love. No, they come in the midst of death having nothing, but that I seek life only, everything, in the precious Lamb of God. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Let us now read the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. You can find in the back of your Psalter on page 136. The form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 29. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, brake it, and said, Take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great, that rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same and his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine in his own heart whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, did everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforth to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and to declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and all those who confide in enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise sects and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, users, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offenses lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren, sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to the supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our flesh and the evil lusts of our flesh. The weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assuredly that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner we are to remember him by it, first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of God into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him that bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, brake it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and has certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. from this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as the only ground and foundation of our salvation, where he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by the same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread is baked, and out of many berries, being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixes itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only showed us in word, but also in very deeds, one to another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may attain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Spirit, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, that we may no longer live in our sins, but him in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper and the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, wherewith we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Jesus Christ, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. Let us sing now from Psalter 187, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free, and tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy hear my prayer, thy servant bless. 187, stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
congregation, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he instituted the Lord's Supper. What goodness, what mercy. He gave his word. He gave the gospel to speak of himself. And yet he also gave the Lord's Supper. Why? He gave it so that his dear lambs, the sheep, may be assured, comforted. What he proclaims in the gospel, that they may see it with a sign, that they may see his love and a constant faithfulness for them, an unworthy, wretched sinners. That they may see that through that Lamb of God, his only beloved Son, that he gave his body to be broken. And that that blood that was poured out, that was shed on the cross, that through the wine and the bread, that when they may come and sit and eat and drink, that they may be assured in their hearts, in their souls, that when he speaks of the promise of his love and his constant faithfulness to his dear people, that they may know it. What mercy, what goodness of God, of a triune God, God the Father, through his Son, the Lamb of God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, they may receive those blessings. Congregation, are you one of those who lie in the midst of death, who've been taught by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit in your heart, you are sin, and that you've sinned against the Holy God, a good-doing God, and that there's sorrow in your heart, and you long, as Paul said in Romans 7, to be delivered from that body of death. Why? Because you long with your being to serve him. He is so worthy. But you feel that flesh clings to you. You can't get rid of it. It's everywhere. But have you also been given a little look outside of yourself upon that only Savior, the Lamb of God, that God's wrath against sin is so infinite that rather than he would let it go unpunished, that he has punished the same, not in you who is worthy to be eternally punished, but that it fell, placed upon, laid upon his Son, and he gave himself willingly to be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And is there a longing in your heart to live for him? Yes, with all your sin. Do you know of this grace? Then you're called. Called by him to come. Invited by him to come and sit at this table under his wings and to be fed in your soul by himself. And that you may find all manner of consolation only in his wounds. The table is open for wretched ones that seek life only in Jesus Christ. Congregation, I don't want to work on feelings. But is there any more? Is there any more? You have nothing. You may come with nothing. Nothing but as a wretch to this table. But if there is no more, then I must close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. He gave his body to be broken for wretches. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. What love, what mercy, what grace. We deserve to be broken. We deserve to be forever under that well-deserved wrath of God. But he says, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. For you, what wonders, what grace, what mercy for unworthy ones. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. You may eat of those riches of his grace. He was the Lamb of God, willingly giving his body to be broken. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you, for unworthy ones, for sinful ones, for ones who only deserve eternal wrath. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken not for righteous ones, for sinful ones, for wretched ones, bankrupt ones. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. I'll read a few verses from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Why? That we might have life through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So in verse 8, we read a definition. We heard a definition of love. It's not about our love. It's about the love of God. The love of God in what he gave. And what he gave in his only begotten beloved Son. God didn't have more than one. He only had one. It was his beloved one. And he gave him. He gave him to be the Lamb of God. Because we read that he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means he sent him not only to live, to be that substitute, but also to die, to be that sacrifice, to pay that price, to satisfy his justice. What love! What unspeakable love for unworthy ones. May you taste it. May you lift your hearts on high, not dwelling on the bread and wine, not dwelling on self anymore, but look up to him, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may taste and feel in your heart as he longs to satisfy, to comfort by the Holy Spirit of love. What love! And that we may live going forward in love, love for him, and that our hearts may be radiant. We need it. Those hearts can be so hard, so cold, so dead, but maybe they've stirred up because of his grace. For such wretches of the love of the Lamb of God, as we read in Isaiah 53, did he gave himself to be beaten, to be wounded, to die. And God the Father, that love, that he infinitely loved his son, he loves his children so infinitely that he put, no, it pleased him to put his own son to death. I cannot explain that. Cannot. No one can. Of that love. It's unspeakable. But may you taste something of it. That love for such unworthy ones. What wonders of his grace, of God the Father through his Son, for those who cannot say anything about their love. Yes, they love him, but so poor, so poor. But may you dwell on his love, on his grace, through the Lamb of God. Let's sing together now from Psalter 426. We will sing stanzas 3, 4, and 5, and in the fifth stanzas, then we will return to our seats. 426, 3, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commandeth therewith his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, be now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let everyone say with attentive heart, and let us close with thanksgiving. O almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast, of thy infinite mercy, given us, thy only begotten Son, for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou hast given us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits, that thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper, the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us close now with singing from Psalter number 297. 297, stanzas 1 and 3. Oh, praise the Lord, for he is good. His mercies still endure. Thus let his ransom testify from all their foes secure. He has redeemed his captive saints from adversaries' hands, has gathered them and brought them back in peace from hostile lands. 297, 1 and 3. Thank you. congregation receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.